Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 116. And in Psalm 116, particularly thinking about verse 15. Psalm 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And we look at this verse under the title, Precious in the Lord's Sight. Psalm 116 opens with the psalmist expressing his love for the Lord. And the reason he expresses that love is because he says, God has heard my voice and my supplications. Psalm 116, verse 1, is one of the verses quoted on the testimony on the back of the notice sheet today. And we can well understand that we are filled with love to the Lord when we first come to know him as our Saviour. When we first realise that the Lord has forgiven our sins, we are overwhelmed with love and gratitude to him. But even if that day when we came to know the Lord is many years ago, we should still be able to look back at what the Lord has done for us and to express our love to him. The prophet Nahum tells us the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Well, are you trusting in the Lord this afternoon? If you are, the Lord knows you in that special way that he knows and cares for his children. But as you go on through Psalm 116, it's clear that the writer has experienced a time of great affliction. Some of you are experiencing times of affliction of one kind or another. And the writer of this psalm has been in a deep valley, for in verse 3, he says, the sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. But what did he do in such deeply troubling circumstances? He tells us in verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now the Bible says we should call on the name of the Lord at all times, but especially when we are in trouble or sorrow. Young ones and older ones, all of us must call on the name of the Lord when we are struggling. We need to pray for help, for wisdom, for strength. And the Lord will not fail his people. That was the experience of this man, for in verse 6 we read, I was brought low and he helped me. In verse 7 and 8, he continues to explain what the Lord has done for him. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. The Lord has helped him in every way, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And the Lord has delivered him. In various ways, the Lord has been his complete helper. And it reminds us that there is not one situation we face where the Lord cannot help us. He always possesses the power and the wisdom to help us in every circumstance. If you are in any trouble or sorrow, call on the name of the Lord and he will help you, however low you feel to be. Well, the psalmist has been blessed. What is his response? He says in verses 13 and 14, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He's been delivered from affliction. He's going to call on the name of the Lord, but this time he will call on the Lord's name in praise and thanksgiving. Perhaps you come this afternoon and the Lord has delivered you from a time of trial and difficulty. Thank him, praise him, acknowledge the goodness of the Lord. If you can, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, it will encourage them. And again, the psalmist is full of praise in the final three verses of this psalm. But in verse 15, our text, he introduces this thought: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Remember, the psalmist has faced death. He hasn't died, he's living. But his close brush with the sorrows of death has caused him to reflect on death itself. He reflects on what might have been. And he's able to draw comfort from his time in the valley of the shadow of death, because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And what a comfort this verse is to the Lord's people, to God's people who have felt themselves drawing near to the end of life and soon to enter eternity. It has comforted them. Those who have been ill for a long time have looked at these words and found them very, very precious. And this verse has comforted some of us. And it does comfort those of us who perhaps have loved ones coming towards their end. Because death is serious. Death is the last enemy. Death isn't the end that God had purposed for us when he made Adam. Death and sin entered in as a result of man's fall and God's curse. Even godly Christians may have a difficult time in dying. The deathbed can be a place of spiritual conflict with the devil as he takes advantage of weakness and frailty to attack the child of God. Inevitably, the deathbed may also be a place of physical and psychological pain. And yet the Lord may also bless his dying people with peace as they come down to their end. But many of the Lord's people have given testimony on their deathbed that they have known the everlasting arms of the Lord supporting them and helping them. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But we may ask the question, why is the death of his saints precious in the Lord's sight? What is it about the passing away of his people that the Lord sees as valuable and special? This afternoon I desire to give you five reasons why the death of his people is precious in the Lord's sight. And the first is this: they are loved. The death of the Lord's saints is precious in his eyes because they are loved. Indeed, God loves his people far beyond our comprehension of the meaning of the word love. In Isaiah 43, verse 4, we read those words, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee." The Lord loves us because we are precious in his sight. He loves us right through life and on into eternity. Yes, as Christians, we test that love by our sinfulness, our waywardness, and our disobedience to his commands. But nevertheless, he continues to love us. We're told in two places that he regards us as the apple of the eye. He loves us as the most precious and tender part of the body. Think of our position as believers. We are united to Christ. God has expressed great love for his Son, and the love wherewith he loves his Son is the same love with which he loves us. And naturally speaking, you and I love others. Our children are not perfect if we have children, but we value them above any price that could be paid for them. We would never think of selling them. It's because we love them. They're very precious to us. And a parent's love for their children gives us a picture of the way in which God loves his children. He will never forget them because they are so much in his loving thoughts. We're told, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Each child of God, although there are so many, is at the center of God's thinking all of the time, wherever they are. and no matter what stage of life they are in. And the Lord thinks upon those he loves. Whether in life or death, they are never out of his thoughts. And his love is so great that he cannot forget them. His love is so great that he cannot forsake them. One of the greatest reasons that the death of his saints is precious in his sight is because he loves them. And the Bible tells us that his love is everlasting. His love towards his people is from everlasting to everlasting. And there is no break in God's love for his people. It's a constant and unbreakable love. Think how God chose his people from before the foundation of the world, and they were given to the Son in the covenant of grace by the Father. He watched over them when they were conceived in their mother's womb, and when they lived in this world, and he will go on loving them in death and beyond death. Jeremiah reminds us, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." And the God who has loved you with an everlasting love will love you when you come to die. There is no doubt that as you pass from this life into eternity, a loving God is watching over that significant step, that brief transition from life to death, to eternity. They are loved. But then secondly, they are complete. The second reason that the death of his saints is precious in the Lord's sight is because his work in them is completed at death. The Lord takes satisfaction in bringing another of his children to glory. I guess some of you, like me, derive great satisfaction from completing a major task. It's good and it's satisfying to be able to tick off another job on our list or to finish another project. Especially when there's a finished product or a tangible outcome, it gives great delight and pleasure to see the end result. And through our Christian life, the Lord is shaping us and moulding us as he prepares us for glory. God patiently deals with us so that we are ready to be with him in glory. And we know that at times he tests us in the fire to burn off our dross. At other times he will lead us in green pastures beside still waters where we may feed with pleasure and joy upon Christ in the Word. But all the while, every day, God is building us and purifying us and cutting us and pruning us into the people that he wants us to be. And all with that aim of bringing glory to him, preparing us for that eternal kingdom of endless bliss. And while we live in this world, we are one, as it were, of many ongoing projects for the Lord. His work of grace goes on day by day, and he will see to it that the work he has begun, he will finish. And unless he comes again first, if he tarries, one day he will look upon us and he will conclude that we are ready to be with Christ. And he will then call us to be with him. What a marvellous thing that such imperfect people like you and me could ever be made ready to dwell in God's glory. True, the work of grace is not fully completed until we die, but how marvellous that he should make us fit to be with him. And yet God's judgment is perfect. He will not call us home until both his work in us is complete and our work for him on earth is done. But at that point, we will be ready to be gathered into his barn. And as he gathers us into his arms as a finished work of grace, he will look with pleasure and satisfaction. You know how in Genesis 1 it records that God looked on his creation at the end of each of the 6 days and saw that it was good. And as each of his saints is gathered into glory, the Lord will make a similar review of his work, and he will reach the same conclusion. My work is good. The Lord takes pleasure in the death of his people, because his work in them is then completed. Isaiah speaking, the words of God says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. We are justified when we believe in the Lord. But then he carries on that work of sanctification in the lives of his precious children. And in death he will glorify them as a fully finished work of love. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But then thirdly, they are expected. John records in Revelation, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Upon death, the Lord's people become his guests in heaven. And they are expected guests. Each one of his children is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there will be no unexpected guests in heaven. Some of us have invited people to our homes for lunch or for a meal in recent days. And when your friends and family have accepted an invitation, you look forward to them coming. And provided everything is well, you look forward with anticipation. You may receive an invitation weeks or months before the due date. But if you're inviting people to your home, once they've confirmed, they've accepted the invitation, you make preparation for their visit in full expectation of their arrival. And you get things ready for the arrival of your guests. And mum works hard to gather in the provisions and ensure that everything is just as it should be. And it's like that with our divine Saviour. He told his disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Dear child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing a place for you. Since he brought you into his kingdom of grace, he's waiting for the day when he can call you into his presence and show you the place he's prepared for you. You as a child of God are an expected guest in heaven. Maybe some years or some decades before you receive the summons to go up there, but the Lord is waiting for you. The death of the Lord's saints is precious in his sight, because each one is an expected guest. The Apostle Peter urges us, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And it's one of those part verses we know well. But the rest of it in the following verse deserve to be added more often. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. God's own word says that he's longing to receive you into his everlasting kingdom. But then fourthly, they are wanted. The death of the Lord's saints is precious in his sight because each one is wanted. The Lord has a strong desire that those whom the Father has given him will be with him where he is. We read in John 17 verse 24, that prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Here is his fervent prayer. Death is the last enemy. And yet it ushers the believer from the confines of this life into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Death gives his saints entrance into a world where they'll see the Saviour face to face, and there behold his glory. At the moment we can only see the things of God through a glass darkly. In this life the spiritual glory of God is only seen like we might see our face in a tarnished and battered mirror. But there, face to face, the summons of death will see our spirit fly from the body into the immediate and glorious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that moment, we shall see a more glorious sight than we've ever enjoyed here below. We shall see the Saviour face to face. And in a right way, we should look forward to that meeting with Christ. But the wonder is, he assuredly wants us to be there with him. His fervent prayer was, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." Our Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, wants us to be with him. John, in his first letter, writes to his spiritual children, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And how wonderful to be like Christ, freed from this frail body of sin, yes, without spot and blemish, to enjoy him forever, yes, like him, able to worship God perfectly, yes, like him, to see God in all his glorious beauty, yes. And how wonderful that God desires that his saints would be with him in glory too. There is that longing in the heart of the Saviour that those for whom he died should be present with him. And moreover, he has the keys of death and of hell. He will surely come and fetch his saints to be with him. He's coming again to receive you unto himself. What undeserved kindness to we who are poor, wretched creatures of the dust, that the Lord of glory should want us to be with him, not just in heaven, but in the throne room of heaven. John informs us in the book of Revelation, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." The death of his saints is precious in the sight of the Lord because he wants them to be with him in the eternal home which he has prepared for them. And then fifthly, they are blessed. I'm sure there's other reasons, but this is the final reason I give you this afternoon. The death of his saints is precious in the Lord's sight because they are blessed in death. We read in Revelation 14, verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. Those who die in the Lord are blessed in dying. They are blessed to leave behind a world of great sin and to pass into that eternal realm where nothing that defiles can enter in. They are blessed to attain final and perpetual rest from all their wearisome labours. And they are blessed to know that the work they've done for the Lord here on this earth will continue after they have gone to glory. But most especially, those who die in the Lord are blessed because they will be with him. They are blessed to be free from the dead weight of sin and to be in the full liberty of the gospel. They are blessed to adore and see the Lamb in all his glory. They are blessed with perfect friendship and fellowship with all other believers. There will be no divisions in heaven. There will also be no unhappy marriages, no lonely singleness in heaven. For Jesus tells us in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Every blessing we can learn from God's word will be ours in the kingdom of God. Indeed, beyond what we can deduce with our frail understanding, what a wonderful prospect the child of God has before them. The Apostle Paul writes, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Our Heavenly Father already in this life loves to give us good things. It will be his delight to give us the best things in heaven. He finds the death of his saints precious because in death they will be blessed. What joy it must give our Lord to welcome home another sinner saved by grace. The death of the Lord's people is blessed because they are loved with an everlasting love. The death of the Lord's people is blessed because it signals the completion of his work of grace in them. The death of the Lord's people is blessed because they are expected guests in the home he has prepared for them. The death of the Lord's people is blessed because he desires, he wants them to be with him where he is. As we think about this truth this afternoon, what is your desire when you think about death? I know when you're young, you don't think as much about death. But when you get to the age where your parents and your uncles and aunts are passing away, you think more about death. And I imagine that when it's your generation passing away, death is on your mind. Some people would worship painless death, and that is understandable, but there's more to us than our bodies. We each have a soul. There is something better and deeper that we can wish concerning our death, and it is this: let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Yes, those words were spoken by the wicked prophet Balaam, but he was given by God a deep insight into the death of the righteous. It was something that Balaam acknowledged was to be desired. It would appear it was something he wished for himself, although he wasn't prepared to forsake his sins and bow the knee before God in repentance and faith, so that he could enjoy the death of the righteous. But I trust that as you view death, that God would grant you to die the death of the righteous and that your last end would be like his. Because the death of the righteous is the only death that is precious in the sight of the Lord. The Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Lord will take no pleasure in your death if you die the death of the unrighteous. But he will take great delight and pleasure if you die the death of the righteous. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Malachi says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." And then God says this, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." God's people belong to him, and they are his precious jewels. And he says, "They shall be mine. They will be fully his. And they will belong to no one else." I wonder, as things stand with you this afternoon, whether your death would be precious in God's sight, or will it be a death in which he takes no pleasure? I pray that your death would be precious in God's sight, because the alternative is utterly and eternally terrible. Perhaps you're not certain this afternoon what sort of death you would die. Then read God's word prayerfully. Pray that God would teach you from his word. Pray that the Lord would take his word and apply it to your heart by his Spirit, so that you may know for certain what will happen when you come to die. And may your death be one that is precious in the sight of the Lord. Amen.